And we're live here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you, 11:06 a.m. on a Wednesday, November 17, 2021. If you are listening to this show on any other day but that, it's been recorded already, and you're listening to an archived version of the show. And that's unfortunate. Well, I mean, it's not unfortunate that you're listening to it because it's a good thing, but it's unfortunate because you didn't have an opportunity to call in. 844-769-2944 is the number to chime in with your opinion. Lots of breaking news this morning, just so you know. The jury is in day number two in the Rittenhouse case. Everybody's waiting with bated breath because they are asking the judge for further instructions from what he gave them originally. They want clarification, and that usually means that they're having a very difficult time deciding whether to convict or acquit, and there apparently are a couple of holdouts. This is not uncommon given the fact that people are scared. They think their community is going to be burned to the ground if they acquit. You know, he did not shoot a black person. I don't know why African-Americans or Antifa or whoever it is that's going to come in here and mess with people. I just don't know why they would do such a thing. So we also just got breaking news in. QAnon shaman Jacob Chansley was sentenced to 41 months in prison for his role, alleged role, in the U.S. Capitol riot.
How? As if he did not serve enough already. This just came in from our producers. You should know. Things are getting really, really dicey. More breaking news. OSHA has just announced it has suspended the enforcement of the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for private businesses. This announcement came shortly after a U.S. appeals court rejected a challenge by the Biden administration on November 12th and reaffirmed its decision to put on hold OSHA's mandate, which requires that businesses with 100 employees or more ensure that workers either be vaccinated against COVID-19 by January 4 of next year or be tested weekly and wear a mask. We know this narrative is not right. Any logical thinking, right-thinking American would understand that. There's also another little twist to this, too, because OSHA is not going to do anything until further court order. And what order are we talking about? Well, you see, when you have conflict in the circuits, in the federal circuits, sometimes I like to call it the federal circus, not circuits, circus. It's a three-ring circus, that kind of thing. Barnum and Bailey circus, yeah, because it is a three-ring circus. You've got the defendant, you've got the plaintiff, you got the judge. That's your three-ring circus, okay, just so you know. A lot of people are looking at our justice system really funny these days. The conservative majority, what happens is when you get conflict in the circuits, the court system then has a lottery. Thank God the Ninth Circuit didn't get drawn, because if it did, they're so liberal, they would rule on this thing based on emotion. They would rule on this thing based on leftist principles, and nobody would get a fair shake. In this case, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit was the winner of the lottery that was triggered by these multiple challenges in the various circuits. Now, out of this, you should understand that 20 of the 27 judges that are sitting on the Sixth Circuit panel, the full en banc panel, were picked by Republican presidents, appointed by Republican presidents. The other seven by Democrat presidents. So we have a very conservative majority court here that is going to look into this overbroad and overreaching. And the chances are very good they're going to agree with the Fifth Circuit, in my opinion, if you've been paying very close attention to what we discussed yesterday on the show. If you didn't hear it, you can go listen to the archive broadcast with Sheriff Richard Mack, who beat the United States government at its own game in enforcing the Brady Bill. And in the ruling, the Supreme Court said, quote, the federal government may not compel the states to enact or administer a federal regulatory program, unquote. How much plainer can we make it? Well, you know, those leftists up in Washington, they don't care. Why should they care? They don't care. they just want a needle in every arm. I really believe, and I've talked to so many frontline doctors about this and so many medical professionals, you know, yesterday's heroes, today's zeros, because they're all being fired and unemployed. This is a real problem because these folks did not have a vaccine way back when. Why should they have a vaccine now? Seriously, think about that. If they were able to survive that, and many of them did get COVID, many of them got over it. The CDC is pretty much ignoring herd immunity, saying that this may not even be possible. Well, you have to understand, whatever the CDC says, and I don't care what medical officer and how degreed they are, the CDC, like the World Health Organization and Dr. Fauci and the NIH and the NIAID, they all have an agenda, and their agenda revolves around money. And if you follow the money and you follow the patents, you will see just what kind of agenda these people have and how in bed with Bill Gates they are. It's like one big happy family, all sharing the same bed. Gotta love that. And these people, they think they're smarter than you are. I think our listeners are brilliant because, one, they listen to the show and they stay informed. And that's the important thing. And you need to look at things objectively. And yes, we tell you what the news is from our perspective and weigh in on some of the stuff because some of it just doesn't sound that palatable. And so when you get these federal agencies, it's our level of trust is now wavering because after all of what Fauci has flip-flopped, now we're having a hard time believing anything the government tells us, especially what's in the jab. So when you get the CDC out there saying, well, we're not even sure that immunity is possible, herd immunity, we don't know. Well, this becomes a problem, especially when you got the FDA deciding on Pfizer booster shots without hearing from expert panel. The drug regulators are going to decide whether to green light the booster doses, which now all of a sudden now everybody needs a booster. For all Americans 16 or older, we have to have a booster. We had to make sure we kill all of you. Because that appears to be, I mean, what other excuse could they come up with given the number of people who have been affected by the jab? I mean, seriously, look at it this way. Here's a fact. They had flu shots a few years back. 53 people died after being given a flu shot. What do? Pulled it. No more flu shot. Here we have a foreign bioweapon for all intents and purposes. That's being injected into everybody's arm. Why? Why are they injecting a bioweapon into people's arms unless they intend to cause bodily harm? I mean, seriously, you know, what, this is like Hitler telling all the Jews, hey, we're going to take showers today. But he really knows that it's Zyklon B in that gas chamber. It's not a shower after all. Evil, twisted people in Washington, folks. Am I being a little too dramatic? You know, I'm passionate about what I do and what I say from a libertarian perspective. I look at this entire charade in D.C. as a one-party system that is on a downward spiral. And it's being led this time by the left that have an agenda to tank this economy and kill as many people as possible. Now, that's just my take, okay? It doesn't mean that it's fact. But I tell you what, when I start hearing a lot of frontline doctors telling me what they think is going on, and then they show me the patents, which we get to read, and the hair standing up on the back of my neck, and it's like, okay, this is nefarious. This is suspect. We have a problem here. Yep. And you got to wonder, first we get an announcement that Patrick Leahy, Democratic senator from Vermont, the longest serving senator in Congress, announcing he would not seek re-election next year. Followed by Representative Jackie Speier, who is also a Democrat from California, announced she will not seek re-election. She happens to cover part of the San Francisco Bay Area, the peninsula area up there, since 2008. So she's been in office a long time. You know, it makes you just wish for term limits. How many more Democrats are going to resign? You should know, as a historical note, in the late 1970s, Speier, when she was working as a congressional aide, was shot 5 times when former Rep. Leo Ryan, Democrat of California, was assassinated in Jonestown, Guyana, by members of the Jim Jones-led People's Temple. So you understand how crazy this gets, because they all drank the Kool-Aid. Now, you got to wonder about that, because when you see repeat performances of Jonestown replayed over and over and over, oh, yeah, everybody has to get the vaccine. Oh, wait a minute. Vaccine's not good enough. Now we need a booster. You know what they're really saying is, oh, darn, we haven't killed enough people yet. We need to get more injections in their system. I mean, how else could you look at this? And I'm not defaming anybody. I'm saying, look, common sense should tell you that if you have over 800,000 people that have adverse events and you had 53 die of the flu and they pulled that vaccine, what is wrong? Why aren't they pulling this one? Because they're making too much money, because the federal government's got to pay for every single one of those jabs. So those of you that aren't incensed by that, you got to wake up. If you've already taken the jab, there are things that you can do to prevent yourself from succumbing to this. You need to fight the bug. It's the way it is. Yeah, the vaccine status is temporary. And Dr. Mercola is saying boosters for life required. That's right. With all of this talk, the fully vaccinated might not be fully vaccinated anymore because the vaccine will wear off. Well, what does that mean? We haven't killed them yet. So we got to inject some more of that gobbledygook into the host. Because the only way this stuff stays alive, folks, is in a live host. So when the host passes away, well, so does what's in the jab. You willing to take that chance? I always got to ask that question. It is a question. It's not a statement. It's a question. Because, you know, when you make statements and you haven't done enough research, you end up like Alex Jones. Now, I have been on InfoWars a handful of times with various guests, including Alex himself. And it took me everything in my power when I was on the air with that guy to stop talking like Alex Jones, you know, to waving your hands around and talk. You know, it took me everything to stop imitating him. Because the only way I can get a word in. Well, he's been found guilty by default in all 4 defamation cases brought by the families of victims of the Sandy Hook school shooting tragedy. A judge in Connecticut issued rulings in a 4th defamation suit brought against the host of InfoWars after he failed to produce evidence to support false claims the 2012 mass shooting was a hoax. So we have 10 Sandy Hook victims in Texas and Connecticut all sued and have won their defamation cases against Alex Jones. It is most interesting because at the same time this news gets announced, InfoWars is posting a Z28.20 code that apparently shows up on your insurance documents. This is something you might want to ask your doctor about. Do you have such a code? Because there's some viral video that's been circulating. A whistleblower nurse is revealing a medical tracking code that basically says you haven't been vaccinated and it's based on an unspecified reason. So if you haven't been vaccinated, they have an ICD-10 code Z28.20, according to this latest post that's been put out on InfoWars. Now, whether that's true or not, I think what you ought to do is ask your doctor's billing clerk whether or not such a code exists. And if it does, well, maybe this is one thing Alex got right. But in the meantime, if you're going to claim that Sandy Hook never occurred and you sick people on the families that have been affected by this, then that's a problem because people are acting out their feelings. This is no better than Antifa, because they act out their feelings too, whether it has a rhyme or reason or not, which is one of the reasons Kyle Rittenhouse is on trial right now. No rhyme or reason. Healthcare workers who cannot take that COVID vaccine due to medical, religious, or ethical objections are still being fired from hospitals that mandated the shots. Well, the problem is now OSHA has pulled that mandate. So what are they going to do now? You know, the approach of firing frontline workers does not agree, according to Dr. Martin Kulldorff, a senior scientific director of the Brownstone Institute and co-author of the Great Barrington Declaration, which, by the way, I signed, told the Epoch Times this approach does not agree with established scientific knowledge or make sense from a medical perspective. So maybe if you have a doctor that doesn't buy into the mainstream narratives, maybe you should find another doctor. It's one of the things I ask all my MDs is, where are you on this? Because if they're saying, oh, yeah, you definitely got to get a vaccine, I'm going to another doctor. I'm not putting up with that garbage. Just not going to do it. They haven't shown me that what they're actually going to stick in me is going to help me. And if I've had COVID, and don't know if I have last year, don't know, never got tested, never had them stick a thing up my nose and shove antifreeze in the back of my head, because we know that's what's in it. So, you know, graphene oxide, that's what's in it. So you got to understand, you know, we're very, very particular about what we stick in our bodies. Understand that this narrative extends into other areas of our lives. An FBI whistleblower has come out and claimed that the DOJ used counterterrorism tools against parents. This, according to the Republicans, they're all claiming now that an email suggests that when the National School Boards Association contacted the White House and said, hey, we're being threatened out here, do something. Well, they picked up the phone, called Merrick Garland over at the DOJ and said, sick him. So this is what happens. The email was signed by Counterterrorism Division Assistant Director Timothy Langan and then Criminal Division Assistant Director Calvin Shivers. So we've got names on this document. And so they have a threat tag that they put on various individuals who allegedly threatened school board administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. Here's the thing. If they were to threaten somebody, it would have to have been with bodily harm to get me to report them. But if they just go in and say, we're going to vote you out next term, now is that a threat or is it a promise? So you got to understand, if all of a sudden they're saying, hey, we don't want you teaching our kids critical race theory and transgender theory, which we'll get to that in a second. Well, we have a problem with that and you need to change it because we're not paying your taxes. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, no, I'm not. We're just going to vote you out of office. Why are you threatening me? You see how this works? They have all this to fall back on because they've got a DOJ who is sympathetic to the school board because they want to push this critical race theory and all these other agendas. Epoch Times is reporting this morning a New Hampshire student is suing his high school for violating his right to free speech and religious beliefs after being disciplined for stating there are only two genders. He said there's only male or female. Well, we're going to give you a one-game suspension because you violated our district's transgender student policy. You've offended a whole bunch of cross-dressers. Well, you know, I hate to say this. The minor identified as MP in the lawsuit basically has some very good attorneys from Cornerstone Policy Research. The student is a practicing Catholic and has the constitutional right to hold the belief that there are only two genders. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, is basically what he's saying. So here's the way the narrative plays out. I mentioned on the show yesterday about the number of suicides of transgenders that have gone through and actually had sexual reassignment surgery. And there is another classic example that I was reading about this morning, Bruce Reimer, R-E-I-M-E-R. For those of you who are so inclined to even Google him on Wikipedia, Bruce Reimer was a Canadian citizen who committed suicide after his parents had him castrated and turned into a woman. And when they finally spilled the beans and told him what they'd done, he went and got himself changed back into a man. And then it just frustrated him to the point. His brother died of a drug overdose, his twin. and he ended up killing himself. You see how frustrating life gets when you think you're one thing, but you find out that wasn't true? And see, when you have people out there teaching you this garbage and further confusing the students and twisting their minds to make them think they're something they're not, it's bad enough to tell white people, you're bad. You're bad because you oppressed black people and you don't deserve to live. You should just go kill yourself. You should take a drug. I mean, you don't know what these kids have been learning. Parents just found out last year, and I guess it was the saving grace, because all the students had computers and they were at home sitting there in their laptops, and the parents are looking over their shoulder going, what in the Hades are you being taught? And this is where things got crazy. This is why you see parents starting to rise up and do the right thing and tell their teachers and school boards a few things, which they should. Are you ready for a vaccine passport? You may have one whether you like it or not. Mercola is reporting U.S. states are increasingly rolling out digitized versions of driver's licenses that go way beyond what a driver's license is about. An international standard for mobile driver's licenses and mobile IDs was approved for publication August 18, 2021, clearing the way for global use. Mobile IDs act as a digital identity card that'll ultimately tie into retail, healthcare, law enforcement, and travel sectors. Ultimately, these IDs are going to act as vaccine passports, making it easy to display whether you got the jab and any other future jabs that you might get or not get in order to go about your daily life. You know, that little mobile ID is not the mark of the beast, folks. Stop playing and reading more into that than it is. And the thing is that, you know, if people choose, they want a regular driver's license or a state ID, they can get that too. It's just kind of limits what they can and can't do. We got some interesting takes on Roe versus Wade coming up. Alan Parker will be joining us here right after the break on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
And once again, welcome to the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you, 11:32 in the morning, Wednesday, November 17, 2021. Just to let you know that if you are listening to the sound of my voice now, it's live, and it's 844-769-2944. That is the number we use to engage in social intercourse on this program. I said social. Stop smirking at the radio. All right. We're lucky enough here on the Power Hour to have the president of the Justice Foundation on the phone with us this morning. He was lead counsel. He's a former law professor at St. Mary's University in San Antonio, Texas, where he taught education, law, and civil procedure, which I think a lot of attorneys have somewhat lost grasp of these days, given some of the nonsense that I've seen in some of the court cases. But so be it. This gentleman was lead counsel for Norma McCorvey. Now, you're probably scratching your head going, okay, who is Norma McCorvey? She was formerly the Roe of Roe versus Wade from 2000 to 2012, and Sandra Cano, the Doe of Doe versus Bolton until 2014 in their efforts to overturn the two landmark cases that brought legalized abortion on demand to America. Alan Parker, welcome to the Power Hour.
Dave, it's an honor to be here with you.
So we have basically the justicefoundation.org for those of you who want to go peruse the site while we're having this discussion. There's also a .com called themoraloutcry.com, themoraloutcry.com. For those of you making notes, and I know a lot of our listeners this morning, Alan, are doing just that, and they're going to do the research because we have some very studious, very attentive, astute listeners on this show, mostly of, I think, a conservative nature. And Texas, of course, as you know, you being a Texan, you understand that the state has now passed legislation that further moves in the direction away from abortion, yet it basically still allows it in some instances with certain restrictions, and it allows private individuals to file a lawsuit, which I thought that was really creative of the legislature. What's your take on that?
Well, I had the honor of representing numerous clients in a brief at the U.S. Supreme Court in that case. Most of our work is at the U.S. Supreme Court. We represented 410 Texas women who were injured by abortion, and we represented Melissa Oden, who was an abortion survivor. That's a child who was intended to be killed by abortion, but providentially, by God's grace, they survived the abortion. So Melinda was one of our clients, and the Abortion Survivors Network, because there are many children that survive abortion, you know, not the huge majority. Most are killed in abortion. And we represented a group called Created Equal, which displays graphic images of the aborted children. So it was really the first time at the U.S. Supreme Court that women who'd been injured by abortion, the mothers, and children who had survived abortion, the children now adults, and those who show the bloody pictures of abortion, because that's the reality, joined together in one brief at the U.S. Supreme Court in the Texas case. And so all of them believed strongly that Texas and every state in the country should be able to reverse Roe v. Wade and ban abortion, and it would be better even for American women than it is today.
Sure. Now, I understand where you stand on abortion rights, given that statement. So the problem is that we are dealing with a leftist administration that claimed in a State Department report that abortion's a human right. So you think that this is a crime against humanity or no?
I absolutely do. And that is the first argument that we're making in our major briefs at the Supreme Court for reversing Roe v. Wade. I represent Melinda Thibault, the founder of the Moral Outcry petition, which is asking the Supreme Court to reverse Roe v. Wade. Legally, under the law of judicial precedent, why should it be reversed? There are five reasons, but the big three are this. Why wouldn't anyone want to reverse Roe v. Wade when the Supreme Court has admitted that it's killing an infant life, and that's what makes it a crime against humanity? When the government withdraws legal protection from a class of human beings, that's a crime against humanity. Second, the court has admitted that it causes, quote, devastating psychological consequences, close quote, to women. And then, so it kills an infant life, it hurts women. And then the third major reason is today, every state, including Texas, including New York or California, all 50 states have a law called the Safe Haven Law. And under that law, no woman has to parent a child that she can't take care of or doesn't want to take care of under the Safe Haven Law. So women can be free of the burden of parenting if they want, without killing the child and injuring themselves with devastating psychological consequences. That simply is the law in all 50 states. For example, Texas has 60 days after birth. You can walk out of the hospital and leave the child behind, or just safely drop it off at a hospital or fire station. No questions asked, no legal procedure, no cost, unlike an expensive abortion. So it's totally free to the poor. It's equally available to the rich and the poor. And like I say, the woman can have the freedom of Roe or freedom of whatever circumstance she's in. She can get on with her life without killing the child and injuring herself with devastating psychological consequences. That's why I think this solution could sort of end the abortion wars in America and make abortion as unthinkable as slavery is today.
Sure. And the thing is that, you know, in order for that to happen, the narrative that you just posited, Alan, in order for that to happen, they would actually have to go through with the birth. And if they had difficulty, a C-section, I don't know whether that is, you know, hey, wait a minute, you know, it's my choice, it's my right. If I want to, you know, this is we're back to that again. It's an individual thing. It's like almost the same division over abortion as it is to get the vaccination.
Except it's not just her body. And one of the clients I represent in the Mississippi case coming up on December 1st is Hannah S. She's the first formerly frozen human embryo to file a brief, an amicus brief at the Supreme Court. And Wow. She was born, she was fertilized outside her mother's womb. She was frozen outside her mother's womb for 2 years. Before then, she was adopted by her mother, Marlene, and John, her husband. And then Marlene became the adoptive mother and the birth mother, which occurs through in vitro fertilization. Normally, if you adopt another child, someone else has birthed her, but she's both the birth and the adoptive mother, but not the genetic mother. And her living existence. She's 22 years old today. She's the first formerly frozen human embryo to file a brief. We're all former embryos, but she was frozen. And even Roe v. Wade said, after viability, which was the time when the baby could live outside the mother's womb, said, without, albeit with artificial aid, the court said, then the states could ban abortion. So today, unlike 1973, when this didn't even exist, now we know in Hannah's living existence that children can live outside the womb from the moment of fertilization, and life begins at the moment of fertilization. So even the court in 2007 admitted some women, and this was a case called Gonzalez v. Carhart, but so, quote, some women come to regret aborting the infant life they once created and sustained. See brief of Sandra Cano. You mentioned her in your introduction. She was the Doe of Doe v. Bolton. The two women whose cases we're talking about reversing, Sandra and Norma, Roe and Doe, they both went back to the Supreme Court and filed motions asking the court to reverse their own case. So I believe when that happens, the court will say, by the way, in either a footnote or in the main part, by the way, the two women whose cases we're reversing today asked us to do so. So they're not going against women, and they'll finally start listening to the voices of the women injured by abortion and the human life that Hannah represents. I think we're going to see a victory in the Mississippi case, particularly. And I think it's just an important case, and I think it can move America from being a crime against humanity country to a more just and humane society.
Interesting narrative. Those of you who are interested in chiming in, by the way, 844-769-2944 is the number to call. Whatever your take is, pro-life, pro-choice, I don't care. We always like to hear from our listeners. I know that there have been so many people that I'm personally aware of, Alan, that just basically make it a practical habit of, oh, I got pregnant, well, I'll just go get an abortion. And it's like, look, why don't you just go get sterilized if you don't want the kids? Why don't you just, you know, get sterilized? You know, I keep telling people that that's not a bad option. At least it's an option that you actually can make an informed decision about, that you don't want to have kids. And so you're either going to get sterilized, or you're going to abstain from sex, or you're going to use protection or get on the pill or do something, but you're not going to have kids because you just don't want them. You can't afford them. And I think that the ones that are allowed to just continue to keep spitting out babies and going on welfare, that's problematic as well. But that really is not addressed in the pro-life scenario. But it's kind of like one of those after effects, Alan, that it may or may not be, and I just want your take on that, it may or may not be driving the narrative.
Well, it is an option, and a woman can do what she wants in terms of sterilizing her own body. If you just sterilize yourself, you won't produce any more children. And let me just say, I do not want to advocate that for anyone. I'm a father of three girls. I have grandchildren. Children are a blessing. They are wonderful. We have devalued humanity if we think career is more important than people and human beings that become part of your family. There's loneliness and depression in this society that are at astronomical levels because we don't have large families anymore. Now, again, we're not making contraception illegal or anything, because it's different to prevent a life from coming to new existence. Once that child is there in your womb, in your fallopian tubes on the way to your womb, once the sperm and the egg come together, there is a human being. Many of us today believe in human rights. Liberals believe in human rights. Well, just think about it. When do human rights begin? They begin when you become a human. When do you become a human? Scientifically, this is just science. When the sperm and the egg come together. And it's even kind of amazing today, if you Google spark of life, they've got such incredible electron photography or something today that they can observe the sperm and egg coming together. And when that sperm pierces the egg and forms a new human being, there's kind of a spark of light that they've captured now. And so we used to talk about the spark of life, and you can kind of see it on, you know, if you Google that and look at that kind of very amazing scientific technology we have today. And in vitro fertilization proves life begins at conception. Another one of my clients, Melinda Thibault, the founder of the Moral Outcry Petition. And by the way, any of your listeners can sign the Moral Outcry Petition because you're asking the Supreme Court to reverse Roe v. Wade. It is a crime against humanity. And as citizens, we have the right to petition our government for redress of grievances. But it wasn't the states that banned abortion. It was the Supreme Court. It wasn't Congress. So who should reverse Roe v. Wade? The Supreme Court should do it. Who do we have to appeal to redress this grievance? It's through the Supreme Court. And when we started back in 2017, some people said, you can't file a petition with the Supreme Court. They won't accept it. And my client asked me, Melinda said, has it ever been done before? And I said, no. And I said, she said, well, can it be done? I said, I thought a minute. I said, well, I don't see why it couldn't. There's no rule that says you couldn't, and we have the right to petition. And we figured eventually it would be through an amicus curiae or a friend of the court brief. And sure enough, in our first one, we had 264,000 signers. That was in the Moral Outcry Petition. And the clerk raised a little bit of an objection, not a question, let me say that, with filing the brief, the petition itself as an appendix to the brief. And I kind of explained to her that it was part of the interest of amici. Who is Melinda Thibault, and why does she have a voice before the court? And I explained she had gathered 264,000 signatures, and they let it in. And
that's and amazing how that works, isn't it?
It is. And I'll say we prayed heavily that weekend, too. We are a Christian organization, and we believe in the power of prayer. But all the reasons in the Moral Outcry are just strict scientific and legal reasons. You don't have to be a Christian to say life should be protected. Life is better than death. That's a simple motto that we all ought to follow. If you're thinking about suicide, anybody listening to this, don't do it. That feeling can pass. But death is kind of like abortion. It's irrevocable if you do it. That's part of the damage to women. I represent over 4,000 women, and well, in the Mississippi case, I represented 2,249 women from across the country who are asking the Supreme Court, please stop abortion. Reverse Roe v. Wade. It damages women. The abortion industry lies to us. They tell us it's a mass of tissue. Well, that's kind of misrepresentative. We're all masses of tissue. Your bone and tissue and flesh, yeah, that's part of being human. But we're much more than that. We are human beings. And killing your own child brings, as the Supreme Court admitted in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, devastating psychological consequences. In Gonzalez, they said severe depression and loss of esteem can follow. And if you're a woman who's had an abortion, you can go to our website, the Justice Foundation. There are abortion recovery resources for you. Just hearing this talk may trigger terrible emotions. People think, oh, 10 minutes, I'll never think about it again. That's what one of the women told me. By the way, everything I know about abortion came from women who had abortions, not me. And yet they say that's a lie. You'll never stop thinking about it again. Like when a friend's daughter gets married or goes to First Communion, oh, my daughter will never go there, or something like that. It can have decades of trauma, and both scientific and the woman's own stories, scientific evidence and the women's own stories show that it increases the risk of suicide, suicidal thoughts, depression, substance abuse, all sorts of psychological devastating consequences.
Sure. Now, Alan, you've obviously pulsed all 50 states, and you've familiarized yourself with the existing laws. And in the more liberal states, the blue states, I hate to use the term, but we bandy it about a lot because of the one state, two state, red state, blue state scenario that's been played out in the polarization of America. These cases, that you're working on currently, what are the chances of them overturning Roe v. Wade?
I believe that the Mississippi case has a very good chance of overturning Roe v. Wade. And I say that because in the procedural posture it is in, the Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether pre-viability bans on abortion are constitutional. A pre-viability ban would be like if Texas banned all abortions, or Mississippi just happens to deal with late-term abortions, but even at 15 weeks, under the traditional definition of viability, at the time that Roe brought up this viability Roe, they were thinking of babies who were born early, like, say, at 24 weeks back at that time, and yet they could live in an intensive care unit. And so they said, if the baby can be born alive, then you can't kill it. You can't. The states are free to ban abortion after that day. Well, by that method, it's down to about 21 weeks earliest that they could save a baby today. But by the in vitro fertilization, which is also a scientific method, that baby is outside the mother's womb and viable and can be frozen for some cases 10, 15 years. I'm not sure what the exact oldest is, but Hannah was frozen for 2 years. Melinda adopted 4 frozen embryos. And if you're one of the other thing, the last argument we make to the court is, are all these children, if they're not aborted, are they going to be in foster care? Are they going to be a burden on society and high cost? No, there's actually this, and again, this is just a fact. You can check government statistics on this. There's about 6 million women a year who are infertile. The definition is they are unable to conceive a child after a year of trying. That's 6 million, about 10% of the women of childbearing age between 15 and 44. And after a while, sometimes to fix it, sometimes to do something, about 2 million women every year say, I'd like to adopt a newborn child. And one of the ways you could get a traditional birth, the child is born and then you adopt it, or there are many what are called snowflake embryos. They're frozen, and if you want to actually give birth to a child and your body can't handle it, and of course that's a medical decision for each woman, you can adopt snowflake embryos, and you can not only be the adoptive mother, you can be the birth mother of the child that you adopt through the embryo adoption process. And so those can be donated legally, that the child, legally the frozen embryos are treated as property, just as slaves were human beings once treated as property. They're property with special characteristics. What is the special characteristic? They are human, and they can become humans that we recognize after their birth. So one of the major arguments we're making is that abortion is like Dred Scott, which allowed slavery to continue and was a crime against humanity and really was a precursor of the Civil War. We're going to be in Washington, D.C. at the Lincoln Monument the day before the oral argument in the Mississippi case, saying this is just like Dred Scott. He fought against the decision of Supreme Court. Then we're going to go to the Martin Luther King Memorial. And Martin Luther King, most people remember him as fighting against segregation, but he was really fighting against Plessy versus Ferguson, a Supreme Court decision in 1896, which enshrined segregation in the Constitution because they said separate but equal is equal. And they, by doing that in Plessy in 1896, they deprived a whole class of human beings, African Americans, from their legal rights. That's a crime against humanity. When the government withdraws legal protection from a class of human beings, resulting in severe deprivation and loss of life, including loss of life. So, you know, the government may violate our free speech rights, but it may not be a crime against humanity. But killing someone or making them property or segregating them their whole life, those are major crimes. And, of course, murder's the worst. And killing human beings has got to stop in this country, and I believe it will stop. The reason I say Dobbs is better than Texas is at the beginning phase of its litigation. I'm not sure exactly what the court's going to do. I am very thrilled that fewer women are being damaged by abortion in Texas and fewer children are being killed in Texas. And every woman in Texas can use the safe haven law. You don't have to go to another state if your state doesn't have abortion. If Roe were reversed today and you were in a state that banned abortion, no woman in America has to legally take care of a child she doesn't want. She doesn't have to parent it. In exchange for some months of pregnancy, which can be serious, the state is willing to give 18 years of freedom from the cost and the expense and the time of being a parent. That's, and I'm not saying that's good or bad. That is just the law in all 50 states.
And amazing. You can,
it is. And that's little known. Not many people know that because it doesn't get much publicity.
Sure. Well, we're going up against a 48-year-old decision. For those of you looking it up, 410 U.S. 113 is the Supreme Court ruling in Roe v. Wade, if you need a refresher course. Now, we're just about to wrap up here because we're hitting the time wall. As far as information on Moral Outcry and your nonprofit, The Justice Foundation, people go to thejusticefoundation.org and themoraloutcry.com. Is that correct?
That is correct, and their signatures will be in the next brief at the Supreme Court. We had 539,000 in the last one. It would have been 11,000 pages long if we printed it out, but it was in the Dropbox.
Wonderful. Okay, well, Alan Parker, I really appreciate your time and explanation here of what's going on with the cases pending before the nation's highest court. And we'll have you back on after the rulings, and we hope that you're successful, of course. We'll be back after the break with James McCanny. Hey, what about that water filter? You like those pour-overs or you want to put one in your house? James may have a solution for you. We'll be back after the break here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Stay with us.
Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.